item number 14. Still police investigation in the neighborhood.
Thank you. We just have one facility listed in our report today. And that's the Scotts Valley Dry Cleaners, Scotts Valley, Santa Cruz County. And I believe we introduced Karen Steckman to you at the last meeting in San Francisco. And introduced her as a new staff member, but today she gets a chance to give a presentation on this item. So Karen Steckman and Supervisor Kate Soper.
Good morning, Chairman of the Board.
Good morning, Chairman of the Board and members of the Board.
My name is Karen Steckman and I'm an engineer on the staff. Today I'm going to be giving you an update on the Scotts Valley Dry Cleaners case. And this is item number 14 in the agenda package. We received a staff support and a supplemental sheet on this item. Dry cleaners are located in Scotts Valley, which is in Santa Cruz County. Here's a general overview of the map of the site. As you can see, north is pointing up here. And north of Mount Herman Road is a shopping center in this area. And the dry cleaning facility is located right here. Across Mount Herman Road is another shopping center. And the Scotts Valley Water District Municipal Well Number 10 is located here. All the wells shown on this site are screened in a shallow perch aquifer, with the exception of monitoring well 13B, located here. And this is screened in a similar depth as the municipal well in the regional aquifer. Just to go over what was in your supplemental sheet, it was mentioned that the responsible parties are implementing a pump and treat system for plume containment at this time. And to get a closer view of the map here, I just want to point out some new information. Two new monitoring wells are going to be installed as extraction wells for this treatment system, along with monitoring wells 17 and 18. Also, the supplemental sheet noted that our executive officer enrolled the responsible parties in the general permit to discharge highly treated groundwater into surface waters via storm drain on May 5th, 2005 for this pump and treat system. Also, the cleanup or abatement order that has been drafted for this site is outlined in the supplemental sheet. Currently, staff is incorporating our legal counsel's comments into that order, and it should go out shortly. Lastly, Water Board staff met with all stakeholders on Wednesday, May 11th. In attendance were the Santa Cruz County, Scotts Valley Water District, the responsible parties, and their consultants. At that meeting, the responsible parties showed their continued, reiterated their interest in protecting the municipal well. And specifically, we addressed a groundwater level test, which will be done in the next few weeks. This test will monitor the groundwater level in those shallow wells located on the site when the municipal well is turned on to better understand how that shallow perch aquifer is communicating with the regional aquifer. After that test, a specific location for new monitoring wells will be decided. More monitoring wells will be installed below Mount Herman Road, somewhere between the site and the Scotts Valley Water District. Well, number 10 to better monitor contamination in that aquifer. Third, we discussed wellhead treatment for the municipal well. Ms. Dury from the Scotts Valley Water District expressed her concern that treatment should be in place before she turns that well on, which is currently off. Her expected time to turn that on is potentially the end of the month. And the responsible parties have agreed to potentially provide that treatment for her, and they will be continuing discussions on that point. Also, Water Board staff explained the requirements in the cleanup or abatement order with the responsible parties and their consultants. And one change was made. The permit pump and treat system was expected to be in place by mid-June, but the deadline was extended from July 15th to July 31st in the event that there might be construction-related delays that are outside of the responsible parties' control. But Twice a week, mobile pump outs will continue until it's operational. Also, in the plan for abatement order, the responsible parties are required to submit a corrective action plan, and responsible parties continue to be proactive in cleaning up this site. They've tried many different remedial technologies. And also at the meeting, the responsible parties gave no intention of petitioning this order. Any questions?
Mr. Daniels.
You're right. The first question, I noticed in the map that this is the same area where we have the ATV spills, and I was wondering if the activities there going on for monitoring and remediation of that is going to somehow interfere with these activities, because we'll be doing pump and treat, interrelated,
right.
Interlaced almost.
I don't think there's been any.
The Camp Evers gasoline plume that you're referring to, it's actually near the municipal well number 9, which would actually be further north, probably half mile, quarter mile away from this actual facility. When you actually look at the plume map, if you try to draw it out, we don't have that necessarily on this particular map that Karen showed, but there is kind of an arm of this plume that is extended north, which would be could be influenced by the southern municipal well, but that again is further away. And that municipal well, number 9, does already have wellhead treatment in place.
I was also looking at your attachment to the aquifer map, and I might suggest that you get in touch with Mike Cloud of the county. In the last year or so, they come up with a new understanding of the aquifers that, essentially the Long Pico, which used to be considered as a sloping aquifer, actually now is thought to be almost a vertical aquifer, which is a real problem for these constituents working at PCE and TCE, heavier than water. We essentially will have the China syndrome that they will just go down, down, down. They get out of our well depth streams. We'll never be able to catch them. So that may affect what we want to do in terms of monitoring and what we want to do in terms of remediation. Because if it gets over that edge, it's gone.
You're right. Ms. Derrick from the South Florida Water District has given us updated cross-section maps of the new interpretation of this area.
Okay. Good.
But that's not the map, right?
This is not the one, yeah.
This is the old one,
yeah.
Right.
That's the one.
Almost similar.
Yes. Okay. Any other board questions? Mr. Jeffries.
Yes, thank you. I was wondering, and I know in the past history that, especially as Mr. Daniels pointed out with the film with the gas stations and MTBE, there was problems getting permits from Scotts Valley. Is that any issue with putting these monitoring wells in?
With the district, the Scotts Valley
Water
District?
Well, they would get the construction permits from the city, wouldn't they?
The city.
I believe actually that the county has a well installation permit and the water district itself has an installation permit for extraction.
Okay. Well, is that going smooth?
Yes. In fact, that's another reason why we had the meeting on Wednesday, and we're going to continue teleconferences to make sure everybody's aware of what permit requirements are needed.
Is this well, the Scotts Valley Water District well number 10, what's the perforation level and how deep is that? Is it from 20 feet down to 100 feet? Or
no. This is the well, this one right here. As you can see, I think the first perforation is at 190 feet is the first screening level, and it goes down about 400 feet.
Now, with these wells that the owners are putting in for the dry cleaners, they're pump and treat, is that correct?
Some wells will be used as extraction wells, but all the
idea of that is extraction is to develop a cone of depression to pull that away from the municipal well. Is that the action? Has the owner of the property been cooperating with us on this project? Has there been any problems with them or their consultants?
No, I think that we're moving forward, and I think that they're meeting on Wednesday, the property owner expressed that, you know, he really wants to protect the municipal well and really wants to get the pump and treat system operational as soon as possible.
I'm sure he's spent a lot of money on that.
Yeah.
It's been going on for some time.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good to hear.
Just a little piece of information. I've been informed that Jill Durick has resigned as the general manager. It's a shame because she's been a wonderful change there. And so I think you'll be in touch with them about that.
Did you know that happened
yesterday?
I was informed this week that she's submitted her resignation. I could be wrong.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What I was told.
We didn't. She did not mention information on Wednesday.
Big dash
going
in. Okay. Right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It's like we were just talking about it.
My name mentioned, yes. Hi, I'm Jill Durick. I'm with the Scotts Valley Water District. As of today, still the general manager, chief engineer for the water district. I have, in fact, offered my resignation last night at our board meeting. It was accepted. And I've got with me the man who was appointed as the interim general manager at last night's meeting, Bill O'Brien. He'll be the contact from here on in for the water district. I would like to just basically confirm what Karen was telling you as the board. We did, in fact, meet with the RP and their consultant on Wednesday, and it was a very amicable meeting. There's a lot of frustration on the part of both the property owner and the district because, you're right, a lot of money has been spent on the site. We're frustrated because the plume continues to appear to move closer to our well. That there is a single deep monitoring well between the plume and our production well, and the last 2 months of reporting indicated that contamination is now present in that well at levels nearly at the MCL. This is the reason for a higher level of concern on the part of the district. As of yesterday, I was in touch with the property owner, and they continue to work conceptually with us on getting some interim treatment in place as wellhead to protect our customers. Well 10 is a well that's sorely needed during the summer high demand periods. We're very lucky this year that the rain's been going on as long as they have, so the high demand period has not yet hit. Last year, our high demand day was in May. This year, we're hoping it's not. Which would give us a little time to get some carbon absorption in place. The first reading we got in well 13B, which is the deep monitoring well, everybody was hoping it was an anomaly because it was not present in 13A, the shallower nested well. The second reading confirmed, however, that it was not an anomaly. It is there, and it is scary when it's 250 feet away from our well and moving quickly, as far as we can tell. So I would like to thank Karen and thank Sheila for their cooperation and working. I would like to definitely encourage everybody to stay on top of this one. And as the sitting ducks involved, thank you for listening to me, despite the fact I forgot to turn in my card late. But I'm available for questions.
Mr. Daniels.
Do you have any things that you would like us to be doing here in terms of monitoring wells or in terms of remediation or any suggestions?
At this point, I think it's almost too late. I don't know that there's a whole lot that can be done. I think that it's very important to do whatever mass removal is possible. Always, to get the contamination out of the ground is a good thing. I don't know how much higher those levels will go. I don't know whether it's even an engineering feasibility that we can get carbon in place. So the more that can be done, the faster in terms of getting the extraction system online is all to the good. It certainly never does any harm. I don't know that putting additional sentry wells between the plume and the district's well are going to be valuable, but certainly there's been a paucity of vertical definition at this site in the past. A single deep well that may or may not even be on the
main line. We have no definition in that with a single point. You can't even begin to draw a clue map. And the district has been crying for a year and a half, and no additional vertical definition has been done. As of Wednesday, we feel like at least they're helping us address the problem at the wellhead, but this may not have been the best approach.
Would you agree with the, the pump and treat would help create a cone of depression to pull that, if that's going in that direction, if that well is put in?
The location of those pump and treat wells is such that they should intercept the high levels of contamination present in the perched zone. However, the site is ill-defined. We don't know exactly where it's seeping through the perched zone to the deeper zone, and we don't know how it's moving through the deeper zone. So to really definitively say how much it's going to help, I can't do it.
Has the issue of the pump water where it's being disposed, has that issue been resolved?
There was some debate, and you asked the question earlier about the City of Scotts Valley's involvement. The City of Scotts Valley's involvement is twofold. First of all, they run the wastewater treatment plant. So a first option was to send the treated water to the wastewater treatment plant. The district was very much in favor of that. That particular wastewater treatment plant has recycling facilities, and it would have kept the water in the aquifer, which is really stressed. There's been a lot of pumping from that aquifer. However, the RP made a pitch to the regional board that it was going to be too expensive to go through the through the recycle plant, and instead wanted to send that discharge to a storm drain under your low threat to water quality general NPDES permit, and was in fact issued the permit just a few weeks ago. The other way that Scotts Valley gets involved is any surface water treatment facility has to be permitted under their building department. And that has occasionally taken a long time. And your situation of the Camp Evers site, that's what was the holdup, was getting all those building permit approvals, the conditional use approvals, and that's all through the City of Scotts Valley as well. It wasn't the well ordinance people that were giving any problems, just to protect us.
One of the concerns I have about this site, many times, for example, the NQB sites that we look at, there's a huge giant oil company that's the responsible party. In this case, the responsible party is a small little business person. And one of the concerns I have is that at some point, even though they're cooperating now, that might break down. So we need to be aware of when that starts to happen and try and come up with some ways to deal with that. Because this is quite a site that needs a lot of work, and that's going to be expensive.
I believe that the small business owner has already had to back off with payments, and it is, in fact, the property owner and the property management company who are handling the expenses, which makes it especially frustrating for them because, in a way, they were innocent of any wrongdoing. It was a tenant of theirs who caused the harm to their property. Their property is not only damaged, but also they have to pay for protection of the municipal wells.
You know, they have insurance that's covering this?
As far as I know, no. It's all out of pocket. That was my impression.
Definitely the site is worthy of doing overwork rather than underwork. I mean, as she mentioned, that we need to really have delineation of this, particularly vertical, because this constituent is heavier than water, and so if you don't watch it, if you're looking at the shallow levels, you might not see it. Like, go right underneath that submarine.
For shallow problems.
Yeah, is there any way we can tap into the camp fund?
We can ask. They tend to not fund projects where there are responsible parties that are still involved.
They still have money.
Yeah.
There's the. How about to help them go beyond what they need to do? I mean, they're going to be responsible for the minimum that we all establish. Mr. Gaddis said maybe we need to go an extra step. Is there a way we can tap into that to go beyond to fund activity beyond what the minimum would be?
The biggest problem is it's not petroleum. Most of the available funding is through the petroleum fund.
Well, I think we have another fund.
Yeah, there's a
there are other funds, but it's less accessible.
Yeah, this isn't the type of project they tend to fund, and I think the things that you're talking about aren't beyond the minimum.
No, I don't think so.
We still need complete delineation of the 50 million.
We have the abandoned recalcitrant account for this, and in fact, we had that last agenda.
What's this for petroleum?
And this is not abandoned, they're not being recalcitrant. Other than that,
well, it's obvious it's a critical. There's a sensitivity of that area.
Yes, they're not just our well 10, but in the same. Within a quarter mile or so are two other municipal wells, our well 9 and the Mignana Woods well, which serves a, it's a mutual water company serving about 120 homes.
I'd just like to, given my understanding of the area, it's a very overused aquifer, and to have a good chunk of it taken out with this kind of pollution, UTV pollution, it's really putting them under extreme stress, and so the whole community is put into the bad straits because of all this. So we need to, again, do more than just trying to do the minimum. I think we need to be aggressive on this.
Any other more questions?
I'd just like to have the staff keep us posted on reports of the ongoing work that's being done. Thank you. And thank you for